This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Cradle My Heart Radio. We are on the exhibit floor at the Heartbeat International Conference in Atlanta this year, and it's a traveling conference which works to equip the pregnancy help movement. So they are affiliated with pregnancy help centers worldwide, helping save innocent lives one woman at a time. And it's a ministry that has a scope that reaches from everyone, including those who have already made the abortion choice and need healing, to those who are just discovering that they are pregnant and are in the decision-making process. And it goes beyond that, too, into training the helpers and training the pastors, training the priests, training the body of Christ to be able to know the truth about when life begins and to stand for it and to stand in love with those who need that information so vitally. And one of the people who's been working for a long time in this movement and effectively is Janet Morana, who's been a guest on Cradle My Heart Radio. And Janet's attending the conference this year representing the Silent No More Awareness Campaign as well as Priests for Life. In your own book, Janet, Recall Abortion. Welcome back to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Kim, to be back again. And, of course, this conference is just amazing. There's over 1,100 people here that really work out there in the highways and byways at the pregnancy help centers. And so I see so many friends when I come annually to this conference. And like you said, it travels around the country. And I just love seeing so many old friends and making new friends here.
Janet, recap your book, because we talked about it on our last visit. But I think that the way that you have positioned the issue of abortion in the lives of women as a reproductive health choice and a consumer product, I think, is brilliant. And I really wish that everyone who has, you know, we all have the obligation to form an opinion on this issue because we're voters and we're electing candidates who vote. And so everybody has a stake in this. So tell us about this perspective that you have in Recall Abortion.
Well, the title, of course, Kim, has a double meaning. Recall abortion refers, first of all, to the women who've had the abortion. Even when they've gone through healing, they still recall the date of that abortion. They recall the date that that child would have been born. Even though they were in a better place, they know Jesus has forgiven them, they still have that memory. And they know there's somebody missing in their family portrait because of that abortion. And then what I do is I make the case in the book that, first of all, an abortion is not medicine, because medicine, really, an operation, does something to help your body do something it can't do. Whereas abortion, well, the pregnancy was coming along just fine and dandy. The abortion is interrupting something that your body is doing naturally. And so what I do is I show in my book, step by step, how abortion is not medicine. I compare it to ambulatory surgery that many of your listeners probably have had, where you go in for surgery that day and come out the next day, and how you see your doctor weeks ahead, and he discusses the surgery, the anesthesia, and then you go for pre-admission testing and all these things. Well, how come, if we're so concerned, as the government claims, about making abortion safe, legal, and rare, like the Clintons used to tout, if we're so concerned about women's health, then how come abortion doesn't follow all those other natural protocols? You know, if I was had a torn meniscus and it was being operated on tomorrow, I would have been 2 days ago in for pre-admission testing, blood, urine, chest x-ray, met with the anesthesiologist. And in an abortion, this is what I talk about in my book, the women never see the doctor again. They only meet him when they're on the procedure table, feet in stirrups. He never even looks at them, talks to them. There's no follow-up care. If they end up having a complication after their abortion, they're in the emergency room. They never see that doctor ever again unless they come back to that same clinic to have another abortion. And how we can go about our business acting like this is a good thing for women, it's ridiculous. But what I do is I even take on the hard cases. Rape and incest, life of the mother, fetal anomaly. And I use testimonies of women who both, like, especially like in rape and incest, who were raped and had the abortion, and other women who were raped and gave birth to the child, either made an adoption plan or even raised that child. And guess what? There's no regret on the birth side. All the regret is on the abortion side of these women who were raped. Because why? The rape was the first trauma, but the abortion puts a trauma on top of a trauma. And so in the book, I showed that we should just take it as a product that's failed women. Take it off the shelves of America. Recall it.
Oh, my. Janet Moreno is our guest, and that's the title of her book, Recall Abortion. And I just have to say, as I'm listening to you, I had a conversation recently with a woman who said her husband is an ER doc in his 50s, very established, very experienced physician, who, when she mentioned to him in conversation that, of course, you know, abortion is legal through all nine months of pregnancy, they were talking about one of the different legislation initiatives that deal with the 20-week mark. And he said, no, that's not true. That's not safe. You know, because the idea that we're selling to women that late-term abortion is a necessary, safe thing, that it's an option for you, that we want to keep open. He was completely appalled and completely in the dark as a medical professional that this is the national law of the land and the policy of it. So, I mean, I really applaud the idea that we need to take a look at it as a consumer product and ask ourselves, is this worth it?
That's right. And also, too, in the book, I also take on contraception, the abortion pill, you know, birth control pills, because people, again, especially now with the HHS mandate and, as you know, Priest for Life, along with other cases or have battling that in the Supreme Court, they're giving out birth control pills, morning after pills, all this stuff to young girls as young as 12 and 13, like it's candy, like it's no big deal. But in my book, I delve into it, Kim, about the harm that those high doses of progesterone, artificial progesterone, do to a woman, her cancer risk, stroke, heart attacks. And in fact, there's been so many lawsuits against Bayer Pharmaceutical, one of the largest producers of Yaz and Yasmin. $1 billion has already been paid out in over 1,000 lawsuits, and more are pending. So much so that Bayer has set aside an additional $57 million to put aside four lawsuits. Now, think about this for a minute. They put aside $57 million for lawsuits. They already paid out $1 billion. How much money must they be making off Yaz and Yasmin? And yet, women have died. I've met people who have lost daughters to Yaz and Yasmin. That one was a college student away at school. Girl was chased, went to a beautiful a public college, and she was away from home. She had severe acne, went to the campus physician. He prescribed Yasmin. And she called her mom and said, "Yo, mom, you know, I don't even have a boyfriend. I'm going to be chased till marriage. But the doctor's saying this will help my acne." The mother, who had severe acne as a teenager herself, felt her heart broke for her daughter, said, "All right, I guess if it's just for your acne, honey, okay." 3 months later, she collapsed in her dorm room, into a coma, massive stroke, was in a hospital in a coma for 5 years before she passed away 2 years ago. These are the kind of stories, Kim, that just don't get out there. But when I speak, I have people come up to me, and I hear another story and another. Just the other day, I got another email about, and someone said to me, "Janet, I read your book, and it's right about Yaz and Yasmin and all these birth control pills, because guess what? My friend's boyfriend, his sister, died from Yasmin." So I say we have to really get people aware that these things, you know, both abortion and contraceptive abortion pills are just damaging women. Mm.
Janet Moreno, author of Recall Abortion, also representative with the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, one of the co-founders of the campaign. And Janet, let's talk about what's happening with the Shockwaves Initiative. We learned about this when it was started, I think, last year.
Yes. And
it deals with all of the fallout beyond the woman herself who has abortions because there are always so many other individuals involved. I think we have this myth that because of Roe versus Wade and the language that they used about a privacy compact between a woman and her doctor, we think it's just those two involved somehow. Like, not even a father, you know. I mean, like, how did this happen? And so the Shockwaves campaign not only identifies all of the other people impacted, mm-hmm. but offers help and healing for their issues, because they're very different from the woman who has made that choice herself or been coerced into the choice.
Well, you know, every abortion at the epicenter, of course, is the death of that baby. And, of course, immediately you think of the mother. Obviously, she's most severely impacted because it's her, she, who's consenting at that point to that abortion, and so she feels responsible for the death of her child. But very often the husband or the boyfriend, you know, sometimes they take that role of, well, whatever you want to do, I'll support you. Well, for a woman, that means, like, I guess they want me to have the abortion, because if they wanted them to have the baby, they said, don't worry, this is our child, we can go through this together. So men become complicit like that because of their non-involvement. And some men, they'll try to stop the woman from having an abortion. And their grief is even deeper because that's their child. They realize it. They want to stand up for their child. But guess what? Legally in our country, the men have no rights. So there's the mother, the father. Then what about the grandparents? The grandparent who told their daughter, you have to have that abortion or you're going to get, I'm going to throw you out of the house. You're going to get kicked out of school. You know, or what about the grandparents that don't know that their daughter had the abortion because they didn't want to tell her?
And, Grant, you know, you have shared your story here, and I want to give you the opportunity to say you're not just talking from an intellectual or from head knowledge here.
Yeah. Well, one of my daughters, my daughter Kelly, unbeknownst to me, she was away at school in Michigan, became pregnant, and went off and had an abortion. Didn't tell me. I didn't know for several years later. She dropped out of school after a few months, but she was claiming to be homesick and wanted to come home. And she eventually took the rest of that year off and went back into college the following year. But it wasn't until about 2 years later that she actually told me. And I said to her, Kelly, you know I would have helped you through this with all the work I do. You know Daddy and I are pro-life. This is our grandchild. I said, why didn't you come to me? And she said, Mom, I didn't want to disappoint you and Dad. And as I tell my story, I have other grandparents sharing with me that they too have found out that their daughter had an abortion. And it's the same reaction. You know, so those of us in the pro-life movement, because we're active, because we teach our kids, you know, if everything happens, please come to me. There's still that they don't want to disappoint you, or that shame factor. And so, unfortunately, I lost a grandchild to abortion. And so, therefore, for me, it's a very personal issue. I deeply understand the problem that you feel. I mean, I have now a grandchild up in heaven. And of course, my daughter and I, we went through a healing program together. We did the Dr. Nay's Hope Alive program. And, you know, we have a great relationship and everything, but we still lost that child. You know, with all you do, you say, how come I couldn't prevent the abortion of my own grandchild? So it's a deep wound, but I know the Lord has forgiven. She knows the Lord's forgiven her. She's forgiven herself. And, you know, you have to move on, but we'll always recall it, as I said, you know.
And this is the point of healing the shockwaves of abortion. And if you're listening and there's an abortion in your past, if you're listening feeling impotent to have prevented an abortion, I want you to hear what Janet has to say about a particular training that they're offering at the Heartbeat International Conference this year. We are broadcasting from the exhibit floor today. And Janet, one of the workshops that you're presenting is to help the pregnancy help worker who has been unable to prevent that abortion. I mean, when an ultrasound tech sees the image on ultrasound, I mean, there's some bonding that happens in this counseling process. How in the world do you help those who have been pouring out their lives to save the innocent but are not always effective in that mission?
Well, the first thing I just want to remind your listeners, they can go to a simple webpage, abortionforgiveness.com, abortionforgiveness.com. That's part of our Silent No More website, but it's a special page where you can just put in your zip code, and you will see where there's a Rachel's Vineyard Retreat program, where there's a pregnancy center that has a post-abortion recovery program, like a Bible study or online counseling, or counselors there who are equipped to deal with this. So abortionforgiveness.com, anyone listening, I want them to know that's where they can find the help. But for those in the pro-life movement, whether they're at a pregnancy center like an ultrasound technician or a counselor, first of all, if they see that baby, they're going to identify with that baby, absolutely. As a matter of fact, at the pregnancy center in my hometown where I'm on the board, this just happened last week, our director called me in tears because this girl was 20 weeks pregnant, and her boyfriend were considering an abortion, but they had gone now for two. They came to the pregnancy center twice for two different ultrasounds to see that baby. And so she and the technician had identified with this child. They saw, I mean, 20 weeks, you see that baby waving at you and everything. And she said the mother was so adamant that this girl had to have this abortion that she pushed and coerced and pushed and coerced, and the girl caved in just a few days ago, Kim, and had that abortion at 20 weeks. And like you said, very dangerous by what we just said earlier. And so Rosanda called me grieving and crying. And I said to her, well, you know, you're going to come to our workshop, of course, here at Heartbeat. But I said, you've got to, first of all, start by naming that baby. Because, see, abortion dehumanizes the child. And it's an attempt to dehumanize all those involved. So the first thing we have to do is humanize that child again. Name the child, I told her. If you want, write a letter to the child. And pray to the child. It's a little angel with the Lord now. And she said, oh, my gosh, I never thought of it that way. I said, yes. We've got to put humanity back onto these babies that have been killed. And that will help your process. And for every child that a client walks out and you feel that they're going to go have that abortion, then name that baby and pray for that baby. And she found that very helpful. You know, she said, I never thought of doing that. And that's what we need to know. And this extends beyond the pregnancy centers, Kim, because suppose you're fighting in your state to pass a bill that you know is going to save some babies, you know, like the fetal pain bills or the women's right to know bills, and you fail. You feel disheartened. I know babies would be saved if this bill was passed. Again, you yourself have to step aside and have healing from that. You know, we all need healing because we're battling this issue, as you know, every day. But we have to come aside and we have to grieve the lives that we couldn't save.
And one of the most effective things in post-abortion healing ministry is this issue of conferring dignity and honor onto the lives that have been lost in abortion. And I can tell you, Janet, that having done some of these gestures that you're talking about, it rehumanizes those who made the choice for abortion as well. You know, because now I don't have to only remember that I made that choice and that I put myself first before the life of a defenseless unborn baby, but I can remember that, you know, I did write a loving letter. I can remember that I wrote a song and sang it at a memorial service. I can remember that, you know, there is a silver cup in the display case with the silver cups for my living children. You know, that these stand as tokens that that heal what has gone that can't be undone. So your suggestions, I think, are very powerful. They're not only effective, but they're extremely powerful. And so I know that Priests for Life, we've got a few minutes remaining. Priests for Life has so many initiatives going on right now. I mean, from the Little Sisters of the Poor lawsuit, deeply involved in that. Tell me the most important thing that people can be aware of that is happening there.
Well, Priests for Life is one of the seven. Little Sisters is one of seven plaintiffs in that case. Priests for Life is another, Archdiocese of Washington, Catholic University, and several others. Oral arguments were heard on March the 23rd. And, of course, everybody might be, well, Janet, the court split 4-4 right now, aren't they? And, yes, that's true. But our attorneys have told us there's a little help with Justice Breyer. That he was asking some very pointed questions, and just
these plaintiffs don't want to have to refer to someone else if they opt out of contraception in their health care.
Yeah,
correct.
This is basically like a Priest for Life. We have never had abortion or contraception in our medical plan ever, and any employee coming to work for us knows this up front. I actually tell them this in the interview. So if you're not pro-life, you're not going to want to work with us if you want to have an abortion or get birth control because you know it's not covered. We've never had a problem, Kim. But now the Obama administration, beyond Obamacare now, put this HHS mandate on us to say you must cover this in your insurance. And we said we can't do that. Morally, we can in conscience. And I, as the executive director, and so what they did was they gave us an accommodation. Okay, you can just sign this form, and then your employee can get it anyway. But I can't sign that form in conscience because signing the form makes me complicit in them getting the abortion and the birth control. So as the executive director, I can sign those forms. All right. So we've gotten this case is now all the way up to the Supreme Court. If we lose, we could face thousands and thousands of dollars per day from the Obama administration, which would cripple our ministry. And fines, yes. I mean, we're not gonna obey, but we're praying. It has nothing to do about access to birth control, because all the women out there in our country, you can get all the pills you want. Go to Planned Parenthood; they're absolutely free. You know, but stop making us complicit in giving out pills and abortions. That's really what this is down to. It's really a religious freedom case. That's what this is about. Because the Religious Freedom Restoration Act is what we are trying to standing on the shoulders of to say you should not be allowed to force us to do this under that act. And so now it's up to the Supreme Court. Because, see, the federal judges all over our country are split on this. There's other cases like EWTN and other ministries all over the country. Their cases didn't quite get high enough up to the Supreme Court as yet. They're stuck at the federal level. But the whole federal court system is split on this issue. So it's really, the Supreme Court can't stay split because if they stay split on this decision and bring it back to the federal courts, well, the country's split on the issue. There has to be a decision. So what we're hoping and praying, perhaps they would kick it to the next court when Scalia's seat is replaced. And that's why, Kim, this election is so important. The next president of our United States is going to elect, to not elect, but appoint to the Supreme Court, not one, one to replace Scalia, but there's several other justices who are getting up there in age, too, and not well. It probably could be at least two to three other positions, but even one more. If it's a left-leaning justice, our country will just continue not to look like our founding fathers wanted it to be. Religious freedom's at stake, and everything that Christians and Catholics hold so dear to their lives, we'll never see again. So we're Priest for Life. The other initiative is we're trying to get out the vote, and you know what? You're not trying to make the candidate a saint. This is not about declaring sainthood for your favorite candidate. Now, during the primary process, yes, go out and vote for who you think is the best pro-life candidate. But at the end of the day, we've got to really put someone in there who will really help us on all these issues.
And stand for the Constitution and for life. You know, Janet, you've articulated a complex issue very, very well, and I want to give you the chance just to underscore this because some of our listeners may not be Roman Catholic and may not understand the teachings on contraception in the Catholic Church, but that is not the point here.
No,
the point here is whether it's a burden on an individual to have to go somewhere else to get contraception, which, excuse me, is exactly what all of us have to do. If I go see my internist for my annual physical and I tell him I want birth control, he's going to say, go see your OBGYN, go see your provider for that.
That's right.
You know, so that's what's really being argued is, is there an undue burden being placed on women to be able to get something that is legal, even if it does violate the conscience of some? And so So talk about that subtlety for those who feel like, well, this isn't my issue because I'm okay with contraception.
Well, yeah, you can be okay with contraception. That's fine with us, you know, but don't make us, force us to have to pay for it with our employees. That's really what this is about. You know, you can get all the contraceptive pills and abortions you want. Just don't force us to pay for it on our end. And like I said in the very beginning, Kim, our employees are 100% behind this. They come to us working, knowing our medical insurance is not covering that. And this really stands in line with so many other religious traditions. Like, for example, Jehovah Witnesses, you know, they don't donate blood. And there's several things they won't do. Well, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act protects them from that. There's just on and on of different cases where you are allowed to practice freely your religion, and a rule in the government can't force you to violate your conscience. What this is trying to do is cause us to violate our consciences, and we're drawing the line in the sand and say, we can't. We cannot. Please respect our religious freedom. And, of course, the other side, I was out in front of the Supreme Court. Father Pavone was inside the court hearing the oral arguments with our attorney, but I was outside with the Women Speak for Themselves rally, and, of course, the opposition was out there, too. And they were still screaming, Kim, the same old lines. Our body, our choice, you know, leave us alone, keep your rosaries off our ovaries. Oh, come on, give me a break. This, you can have all your pills. Leave us alone, though. You know what I mean?
I saw a sign that said, keep your ovaries off my rosary.
Yes, yes. I mean, and that, I mean, Kim, that line's been out since the 90s and the 80s. They can't come in up with any new slogans, you know?
So, Janet, we've just got a couple of minutes remaining. I want to give you the chance for, we have some listeners who may not be aware of what the Silent No More Awareness Campaign does, and that women have an opportunity to speak out against abortion, particularly those who have suffered from it and want the truth to be known. How can people get involved with Silent No More Awareness?
Simple, Kim. They just go to our website, silentnomore.com. There's a place where you can join the campaign. If you've had an abortion, there's a chance for you to tell your testimony to us, you know, writing it. And then our regional coordinator will be back in touch with you to see if you've gone through healing. If you have, okay, that's fine. If you want to speak, we'll give you an opportunity to maybe come to Washington or San Francisco next January. But if you don't want to speak, but you'd like just your testimony to be with the other women on our website, then your voice can be counted among those who are speaking publicly. Also, too, don't forget, abortion abortionforgiveness.com. Someone might be listening again, need healing, and that hope and healing is there for you. Just put in your zip code and you'll see what's nearest your home. And finally, priestforlife.org is our Priest for Life website. And if you want to know more information about the Supreme Court case, just go to istandwithpriestforlife.com and you'll get all the information you need. And finally, my book, recallabortion.com, if you'd like to order the book. And it's now out also, Kim, in paperback. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Well, Janet, God bless you and the work that you do. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, and thanks for having me once again. God bless.
We have links to all of the initiatives and organizations that Janet mentioned at cradlemyheart.org, so please visit there if you would like to know more, and I encourage you to do that. Particularly, God just put it on my heart today that there may be someone listening who had a very peripheral engagement with abortion, maybe just driving someone to a clinic, maybe lending $50 for the payment, maybe something that, maybe saying, well, this is the best you can do, rather than trying to encourage a different choice. And I really want you to know that you do not have to live with that any longer, and that that is also forgivable and already indeed forgiven in Christ. Coming up here on Cradle My Heart Radio, we will continue with our Faith Radio Live portion at 1-800-811-3003. Your phone calls as we discuss the pro-life stories that are in the news this week here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken again, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight here for Cradle My Heart Radio. It's great to be with you again, and really a highlight of my week. I think that so much happens from Sunday to Sunday between our visits, and it's hard to encompass it. But I want to start with the scriptures, because I know that if I leave you with God's word tonight, I will have done something of value for both of us. And so I read one of the devotions that I read each day is Daily Light on the Daily Path, written by Samuel Baxter with an introduction by Anne Graham Lotz. And it's all scripture. But what the beauty of what Samuel Baxter did 2 centuries ago now is to compile around a theme every morning and every evening, several verses, sometimes up to a dozen. And the theme this morning was on peace. And after abortion, I think this is such an important thing for us to realize, that peace is a promise from God to us. And as Martin Luther said, you know, we have a right to demand of God the promises that he's made to us, that's part of our relationship as his loved and beloved children. And so we know that the fruit of the Spirit includes peace from Galatians 5:22. But I think this verse is so important, from Romans 8:6, where it says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For me, most, if not all, of the problems after abortion were rooted in spiritual difficulties. And yes, out of that flowed relational problems, not only with my fiancé, but with other family members, and in my relationship with myself, perhaps most importantly, but definitely at the core of it, my relationship with God Almighty. And so to be spiritually minded has got to be where we seek our answers. We cannot seek our answers in those relationships first. We can't seek those answers in trying to overcome emotional difficulties that lead to relationship problems. No, we have to pursue our peace spiritually with God. So this next verse is wonderful. From 1 Corinthians 7:15, it says, God has called us to peace And then the words of our Lord from John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And this one of my favorites from Romans 15:13. "The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So what are we to believe? The simplicity of the gospel message, that the blood of Jesus Christ has forgiven us of our sins. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ has paid for what we've done and bought our pardon, so that we are now justified before a holy God. It's an amazing exchange. And it's nothing that you and I could ever accomplish for ourselves, nor do we have to work to attain it. It all flows from Him to us. All we must do is believe. And as I think about that, and I know that that is sometimes the most difficult thing, and trust, you know, if your trust has been impaired after abortion, as mine was, that believing can be the hardest thing. But I want to share with you a portion of a handout that we got at our Sunday school lesson at church today from Pastor Jonathan, who brought it to us from Luther's works on devotional writings. And this is on the word Amen. And it says simply that the little word Amen is of Hebrew or Jewish origin. In German, it means that something is most certainly true. So it's good to remember that this word expresses the faith that we should have in praying every petition, because Christ says, "Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith," in Matthew 21:22. And in Mark 11:24, he says, "Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and you will." And so this is why the Gentile woman was heard. She asked with such persistence and believed so firmly that the Lord said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire and pray." Matthew 15:28. Now, this is not Luther, but this was the lesson we were talking about, the faith of the Canaanite woman. And I didn't know this, but Pastor pointed out to us that Jesus said of only two people in the Gospels that they had great faith. And he was speaking about a Canaanite woman and about the centurion. Neither was from the house of Israel. You know, if you feel you don't belong, you cannot claim God's promises because of what you've done, or because you weren't a church goer, or you didn't grow up, or you walked away from... No, all of these people, these two people, Jesus said, were of great faith. These are the two that he praised for their faith. Now back to Luther. It says, and in James 1:6-8, Luther writes, we read, "Let him ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts in his faith must not suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord." And so we'll drop down now to Luther's thoughts. He says, before a person begins to pray, he should examine and probe himself to ascertain whether he believes or doubts that his prayer will be fulfilled. If he finds that he doubts or is uncertain, or that he prays at random, the prayer is nothing. His heart is not constant. It wavers and wobbles back and forth. It's impossible for God to put anything into such a heart, even as you cannot drop anything into a person's hand if his hand does not hold still, if he doesn't hold it still. So just imagine how you would like it if a person were to entreat you earnestly and then conclude by saying, "But I don't believe that you'll give it to me," although you surely would have given it to him. You would regard his petition as mockery, and you would retract your promise and perhaps even punish him. How then can we expect it to please God, who promises to grant our petition, when our doubt gives him the lie, when in our prayer we act contrary to the prayer, when we insult his truthfulness, which we invoke in our prayer? There's more to it, but isn't that the heart of the issue? From so many people, I have heard this phrase, "I know I am forgiven, but I don't feel forgiven." And we can't trust our emotions. You know, as Reverend Lamb has told us on this program, he said, we don't have to feel forgiven. The reality is that we are. And I know that when we extend forgiveness, I learned this long ago from a prayer mentor, a friend of mine named Laura. We prayed together every week. And she taught me about an aspect of forgiveness as an act of the will, that it is a decision. And that if our emotions return and we feel as though we never did that, we never made that decision, we just can't forgive, the emotions aren't there, we can ask the Holy Spirit to bring our emotions in line with the act of our will to forgive. Because, of course, that forgiveness comes out of the obedience that we want to model, out of a grateful response to the forgiveness that we have received. So there are my thoughts about our spirit tonight, our spirit in the Holy Spirit and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, if you enjoyed our feature interview with Janet Marana, I have a copy of her book tonight, Recall Abortion, and it's Ending the Abortion Industry's Exploitation of Women. 1-800-811-3003 is the number. And this book is full of stories and testimonies from the women and men who have contacted Jana at the outreach that she began with Georgette Forney back in 2002, the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. You will find something that will resonate with your story if you've experienced abortion within the pages of this book. And as she argues for the fact that abortion has harmed women, it exploits women, it's a bad product, and it ought to be recalled by the government. And she's got a petition for that to happen as well at her website. I know that you will find the voices of those who have had the experience underlining the truth that she has put forward. 1-800-811-3003. And all you have to do is join us and say hello, question or comment, and we'll get you a copy of Recall Abortion by Janet Marana, the co-founder of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003. Janet is a person who has experienced abortion as a pro-life advocate when she learned that her daughter had had an abortion while she was away at college. And as hard as that is for maybe you to accept if you've always been pro-life, it's not that uncommon a story because, as Janet's daughter told her, "Mom, I didn't want to disappoint you with that unwed pregnancy." And so Janet has had to grieve abortion in her own way. She also realized when she became more savvy about how many of the birth control methods that she had used were abortifacients, is that she wasn't even aware of whether or not she had aborted children. And here's something I want you to hear about this. And by the way, you can read more about it in tonight's resource if you'd like a copy, 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. And the healing resource tonight is Recall Abortion by Janet Marana. One of, I think, the most devastating things about abortion is that we don't know what would have happened in the life of that child had that child been allowed to live. And that is a reality that is so difficult to reconcile at times. I heard a beautiful quote from John Piper that may help you with this. He said, "Occasionally, weep deeply over the life you hoped would be." He was speaking, of course, about ourselves, but it really applies, too, in the case of having lost a child to abortion. "Occasionally, weep deeply over the life you hoped would be. Grieve the losses. Then wash your face, trust God, and embrace the life you have." And I think what's lovely about this quote for those of us who have experienced abortion and who will never have any of those questions answered about what God had in mind for us with that child that we rejected or that we were forced to lose, it provides just a beautiful wellspring of hope that what happens now can be the beauty in the story. What happens now maybe even in the grief if you've never yet started that process, can begin the whole act of God bringing something beautiful from it. I know that that happened for me. And the verse that I clung to this verse during those days when I had begun to trust God, but I couldn't see how he was going to work it all out for me, is that verse in Ecclesiastes 3 that says, God has made everything beautiful in his time. It took time. Yes, it took time. But the beauty of trusting him for as long as it took is that I came to see that out of the ashes of that experience, God raised up a ministry that's led to this broadcast tonight, that's led to me being able to share the story of the child I have in heaven, and to witness that although his life was only 12 weeks long, it has eternal meaning, because coming to terms with what I did is what made me a follower of Jesus Christ. And I have no idea how many people have received hope from hearing his story, but I know it's at least one, because at least one has circled back to tell me that. That's beautiful, and that's something only God can do. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. 1-800-811-3003 for a copy of Recall Abortion by Janet Morena. Again, John Piper's words, weep deeply over the life you hoped would be. Grieve the losses. Then wash your face, trust God, and embrace the life you have. Call now to win our resource tonight, and we'll be back after a short break. Give you a chance to call us at 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others. Find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Glad to have you with us tonight. I'm Kim Cattola, and this is Cradle My Heart Radio. I hope you're able to listen next week. We plan to bring you the story of a man who adopted one of the very first children, if not the first, with Down syndrome to be released for adoption in China. It's an amazing story and a beautiful one. And when you think about the fact, I saw recently news that only 17 children with Down syndrome were born in Taiwan last year, because of the high abortion rates after that prenatal diagnosis. It's a devastating state of affairs, and yet there is beauty in the story of Dan Culp, who brings it all to life next week. I hope you're able to listen. Learn more at cradlemyheart.org this week. We'll post about it soon. All right, let's go to our calls and welcome our first caller for a copy of Recall Abortion by Janet Morena. Hi, and welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Hello, Kim.
Hi, thanks for listening tonight. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Your program always, I don't know, it just breaks my heart. Not that you break my heart, but the discussion of abortion and where I'm at and what I've been through. And, you know, I appreciate your program because it's healing. And the Recall Abortion, the wonderful author, you know, she mentioned about, you know, knowing that she'll be able to see her child in heaven one day. But, you know, what about if someone has like a fear? This is because it's still like a chain around one's neck, and the thought of it is like fearful to have to face that when I get to heaven.
Are you a believer in Jesus Christ?
I am. Yes.
Well, praise God, because my understanding of the scripture, and particularly those verses in Revelation, tell us that those who are in Christ Jesus are not, first of all, going to be judged for our sin. We will be Jesus will talk to us about our good deeds so that we can receive our rewards. We will receive his robe of righteousness for our sin at judgment. That's my understanding of the scripture. Now, you may want to discuss that with your pastor, who may have some different teaching for your particular, you know, church. But that's my understanding of the scripture. So I don't know if you knew that. Did you know that?
Mine too.
Okay. So this is not an issue between you and the Lord. It's more between you and the child?
Yeah, I would believe so, yes.
Well, I can tell you what I heard from a professional counselor, Terry Reiser, whose book, A Solitary Sorrow, has been used by Focus on the Family for years to help women with this issue. And Terry said, and I think this is true, that since the children have been with the Lord for the entirety of their lives, they've never known anything but love. So there's no need for them to forgive us. They've never known any pain in heaven with the Lord. And you know what the way that this helped me, I envisioned a 2-year-old who'd help you if you'd stubbed your toe, you know, who'd come and say, "Mommy, it's okay," and give it a kiss on your boo-boo. You know what I mean? That somehow the roles could be reversed, and that these children, because of their presence with Jesus, will be the ones welcoming and comforting us.
Wow, that's a great analogy.
I think it's true. I cling to it. I don't believe they're going to know or hold anything against us. I believe it's been forgiven in their hearts because they've been with the Lord. Thank you so much for calling. And stay on the line so we can get your address and we'll give you a copy of Recall Abortion. And, you know, I understand, too, how you say it's heartbreaking, even though you want to listen. And this is that period of attrition that I think is a natural part of the healing. This is that period of grief when we allow ourselves that pain. And it does feel as though our hearts will break. But I promise you that it gets better. And again, this verse that has given me so much encouragement is Romans 15:13. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Once we get the spiritual truth embedded in our hearts, our emotions do come in line. And keep listening, and you call back and let me know how it's going, okay? Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. Thanks. You have a proposal about informed consent related to abortion. Welcome.
Yes, my name is Dale. I think that every woman, before she submits to the abortion, should be able to get a complete, exhaustive list of the dangers to her if she submits her body to the abortion. For example, tubal pregnancies. When you scrape the uterine wall, the scars that occur, and that can narrow the opening from the uterus into the tubes, and so that the man's sperm is smaller than the egg, so the man's sperm can get through the narrow opening. The conception occurs in the tube, and then the conceived child can't get out into the uterus. So you get tubal pregnancies with all the ramifications there. It can kill somebody. Secondly, when you scrape the uterine wall...
I'm going to interrupt you for just a second to ask you to give you a moment to turn down your radio, because it sounds like it might be distracting you and we can hear it feeding back a little bit. If you just turn...
Sorry about that. I had it real low.
That's okay. Thank you. Okay. Your second point.
The uterine wall, it damages it, and that means that the placenta can't always attach normally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if the child doesn't get a normal supply of blood and nourishment from the mother, the child won't develop normally. You'll have retardation and other complications. And sometimes a uterus that's been scraped, the placenta can even attach itself over the vaginal opening, which really makes a problem.
You know, all of these things that you've said, I have absolutely read are absolutely possibilities after abortion. And I think that your idea of signed informed consent is a great idea. I had to sign a consent form before a cesarean birth, stating that I was well aware of what all of the risks were and agreeing to enter into them, as documented by the signature. And that would go a long way, I think, from deterring shady operators and from informing women about what it is that they are actually choosing. That's an awesome proposal. I appreciate you calling to share your knowledge with us. And stay on the line. We'll get you a copy of Recall Abortion as well. Friends, thank you so much. This is, I know, a difficult topic. And if you've experienced abortion personally, I know it's doubly difficult to listen. And I want to tell you that it's brave. It's brave for you to set aside time to learn and to seek your healing by listening to the truth. That's why we're here. Because I can only give you what I have already received of the Lord. And he is no respecter of persons. This is what he has come to do for us. Thank you for being part of our community here at Cradle My Heart Radio. Again, you can learn more about our upcoming programs at cradlemyheart.org and spend some time on the website, because you'll find there a great number of resources and links and referrals for help. And if you've not yet received a post-abortion healing journey or started one through a Bible study or a retreat, please consider doing that. Pray and ask that God would lead you to just the right resource and soon. Thanks so much for being part of our broadcast tonight. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we. We'll see you next time here at Cradle My Heart Radio.